in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18 and the first verse. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Emmanuel shows and teaches in this parable there was a judge who feared not God, a nasty sort of character, and had no regard for man, unreasonable judge. And a poor widow came and asked for help to revenge of an adversary that was pursuing her. But being a parable, the details are not known, it's not necessary, for it's a parable. But the teaching is this, that we should persist at the throne of grace, and that we should plead above all things the worthy name of Jesus in our great need, whatever that need. Ah, the question is asked, isn't it? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Read that in Genesis. And my friends, may we remember how Job, in his great trial, indeed came to that conclusion. He was humbled in the trial. I know that thou canst do everything. We all have trials, worries, concerns here tonight. Our pathways are different. I hope and pray being ordered by our heavenly friend, that good God, ordering all our ways. But we all have worries, and the older we get, the worries increase. They don't diminish. When I was a lad, when I grew older, I could manage things better. Well, we're humble to know we can't. We have to wait upon the Lord continually. But we come to a good God. Oh, he's raised Christ to his right hand, a solid, glorious friend of publicans and sinners. And therefore he will manage all the lives and affairs of the humble poor that trust in him, though their faith be tried. There must be a trying of faith, because, my friends, it burns up the rubbish and all that we are. And he brings forth the gold of the grace to make us to bring forth fruit and ready for our dying day and to go to glory. Well, he was an unjust judge, so he wouldn't help. But because she importuned, oh, she kept coming back and was annoying him. No love to her, to get rid of her because he was annoyed with her keep coming. He judged for her. And shall not God, a loving Saviour, the friend of sinners, pure and just, full of compassion, the expression, don't we, in the Gospels, and Jesus, move with compassion, healed that woman. And so it is, my friends, we come to a compassionate high priest as we draw near to God, one who fully understands our case, and one who loves all comers, all comers. And if you're a comer and I'm a comer, it's his grace to us. Jesus taught very clearly, didn't he, that none can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. Ah, he draws poor sinners to himself. Oh, what a mercy to have our hearts open, friends. A great favour. We hardly realise the blessing and favour it was, as it was in early days. But as we go on, we realise more and more. We've all got desperately wicked hearts. The scriptures say it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The ups and downs and the trials of life and the teaching of the Spirit, friends, and the humbling of grace makes us realise just what we are really. Oh, but the riches of grace, the offering of Jesus for our sins, and by that channel of mercy, grace comes down to poor sinners. Well, so he ends the parable, and shall not God avenge or answer his own elect, appear for them, which cry day and night unto him, they bear along with them, I tell you, he'll avenge them speedily. May we say, Lord, increase our faith. Well, the parable, so much for the parable. Now, let us get to the teaching of the parable. Men ought always to pray, that strong language. And it's instruction for me and for you. I ought always to pray and not faint and give up. An instruction for you, my dear friends, you, dear fellow men and women. We ought always pray, ought to. Pray, the apostle says, without ceasing. So we ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. There are many reasons why we are ready to give up. I'll just deal with that first. Our weakness in the flesh, our very weak nature, our own judgments in matters. We can start making our own judgments in matters. But really, and in that it's dangerous because we can come to wrong conclusions, but to pray for him who upholds all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power. The poet says, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. So he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, there's one very good reason why we should. Because the Lord is so good. Oh, who is like unto the God of Jeshurun? That upright people, a perfect name for Israel, Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, his excellency upon the sky. The Lord God of heaven and his dear Son is a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. And he has perfect knowledge, perfect understanding. He's seen our whole life up till now. He knows our past. He controlled our childhood and our youthful days into our old life. And he's upheld us these many years. But oh, the sinnership. We've all got a sinnership here tonight. Ah, but there's one full of compassion who died. Who died for the ungodly. Isn't it wonderful? He didn't die for the godly. They don't need anybody to die for them. They're godly. And there aren't any left in the earth since the fall of man. But he died for the ungodly. Men with deceitful hearts, ungodly motives, men with black records. Oh, my friends, our poor sinners who indeed are lost and ruined in the fall. He died for them. And dying for them, he gives them eternal life to begin to believe. And we read in Peter, to them which believe, he is precious. And my friends, when we begin to believe in the Lord, we begin to receive some knowledge, wonderful knowledge, some sacred sense with the power of the Spirit. How good, how blessed Almighty God is. He delights in mercy. He waits to be gracious. He hears prayer all day long. Being God, of course, think of it. Think of the many believers in the earth today. I know perhaps there aren't so many believers in our own land, there's more than we think actually, but think of the whole world. So many people crying across the globe to the great and mighty God of Jacob. He hears them all. He knows their case. He's their God. He's their high priest. He's their wisdom and their righteousness. Ah, my dear friends, yes, he's their friend. men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, we've been given then this set, this pattern of prayer, and especially I want to emphasise asking Christ's name. A remarkable scripture, isn't there? John, I think it's 14, verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. A wonderful truth. May we value that word and pray over that word and consider our need and draw near to the righteous friend of sinners, a righteous God and a righteous Saviour, a God who can't lie, who can't turn back from his truth, his gospel. My friends, you see, Emmanuel is the great gift of all gifts to poor lost men. Ah, he's full of love. They'd be pure and holy. Think of the character he received. So many came. And they were healed. They were blessed. Someone who caught out in their sins and he forgave them. The Pharisees brought that woman taken in that court, the act of adultery. He said, yeah, no, Moses commands in the law, what sayest thou? Because he said she should die. Be stoned. What sayest thou? They weren't anxious about her sins or her salvation. They wanted to catch out Christ. And he silenced them with his authority. Sadly, we don't read any of them came to repentance, though we hope that some may have done later, but it's not recorded. He wrote on the ground. As they read what he was writing, being pricked, they crept away one by one. And that woman, so sinful, received a free grace pardon. Instructed to walk in the paths of peace and righteousness. Go and sin no more. Now, my friends, we can only think that what Jesus wrote on the ground, yes, he told them of their sins. And because he was Christ with power, what he wrote entered into their hearts. Sadly, to convict them but not save them, but to appear, as far as we can judge from Scripture. Dear friends, when the Lord works a work of grace in our heart, it's to save us. It's to bless us. It's the law that condemns. The law can never help a man in his complete ruin. It can't save him. I will own this, though. Yes, while the believer is not under the law, he doesn't walk contrary to it. And when he walks contrary to it, he's chastened. Yes, as we read, I can't remember the chapter now, when the Lord made promise to David concerning Solomon building the temple. I just can't place where that is. It's in the Chronicles or the Book of Samuel. But how he told David that he would raise up Solomon and that he would not take his spirit from him like he did from Saul. And though he said, and if he sin, I'll chasten him for his sin, not take my salvation from him like I did Saul. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And you know, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He has a peculiar way of making us know how sinful we really are. Though we may be walking upright in a moral sense, but it's the nature, the thoughts of the heart, the greediness, the selfishness, the covetousness, the pride, the unbelief. Ah, without me you can do nothing. And Jesus taught this. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, the Jews thought he meant talking about his literally eating him, but he meant, yes, the spiritual eating, the spiritual drinking, living upon his precious word by faith, eating and drinking in the sweet truth by praying our way along, casting our care, committing our way, fighting the fight of faith, standing still to see the salvation of the Lord with us, yet venturing forward in humble, real dependence upon Him. And ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you want to emphasize that precious name? Anything in my name. Now, my friends, it goes without saying, we must pray according to His will, because we may want many things that it's not the Lord's intention to give us. You may feel desperate about something. You may ask. But you see, the Lord discerns our heart. As we pray, committing our way, and this covers all our providence as well as our salvation, we feel we need a certain thing, and we pray for it, but we are to ask according to His goodwill. I think of many things, seeking a job, a young person seeking a job, or a person seeking a husband or a wife. I think of buying a home, things like that. They need help. The Lord go before them, make the crooked thing straight. You see, the Lord can work wonders, and He will perform His will, His good will toward all His people who trust in Him. Therefore, we have to pray in submission to His divine will as we ask for things we feel our need of, things that we desire. Anything, it goes without saying, but I must say it, we're not to ask for wrong things. We may ask for things because they will give us pleasure and consume upon our lust, not necessarily unclean things, but that we can enjoy life better, enjoy things more. Dear friends, the Lord reads the heart. May we ask, yes, in humble faith, dependence upon His goodwill, for those things that He's pleased to give us in His eternal thought, in His love to us. He knows what's best. He knows what's best. Anything in my name. Well, the anything, we have to start with the vital things. The vital things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we have faith, then we have repentance. And repentance is a daily exercise, like faith is a daily exercise. Every day we have to go as a poor, needy sinner, don't we? And may we not just say, just quickly confess our sins, but may we perceive who we are addressing. And like Peter was, an offence to Christ sometimes. We can be an offence, can't we? But He's the Saviour. He loved Peter. Peter was opposed, you know the sense there, Peter opposed Him being crucified and being put to death. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, thou servant, not the things that be of God. Because in love to Christ, this will never be to thee, Peter, you don't understand what you're saying. If this doesn't happen, you'll be damned. He came to save sin. Ever keep that in view, friends. I need to keep it in view. According to goodwill, He's of goodwill. Ask and ye shall receive. All good things from God. Well, He knows our need before we ask. Yeah, we're told that, isn't He? The Lord said, your Heavenly Father knows what we have need of before you ask Him. Our Heavenly Father knows our need for this evening, our need for tomorrow. One thing we can think we have a common sense of need, and we have safe journeys home tonight. Arrive home safely. How good to commit our way, prayerfully. Yes, my friend, the Lord to be with us. Every day, every night, the step of the journey. Lord, give us new hearts, more and more. A new heart isn't just something that's cold or abstract within. It's a life in you. Your spirit is embraced by the Spirit of God. And you're made a new creature in Christ. Therefore, you see, heavenly things, eternal realities, yes, knowing Christ, fearing the Lord and loving Christ and following Christ is the most important thing. To be a humble believer and pilgrim in the earth. To hasten away from a dying world. And I say that I'm a worldly, loving man by nature. Oh, yes. Lawful things can soon overtake and push out the spiritual things. What grace we need. But our earthly business, a domestic scene, and normal, natural things which we enjoy with thankfulness. Yes, may these things not become idols to us or a hindrance to us, my friends. I'm preaching to myself and I say these things, but I believe it's true of our nature, every one of us. Yes, may we pray for the essential things, repentance, a tender fear of God, day by day, and that we may, the poet puts it, I can remember how it goes, daily I repent of sin, daily washing Calvary's blood, daily I would find peace within, daily I'd commune with God. The Lord grant it to us. Our first thoughts in waking, Lord, help me today. Be with me today. Perhaps the mountain, hospital appointment, or some serious matter in your life, so worrying, so frightening. Lord, help me. Do you wake in the morning? Oh, be better than me. All my many fears, bring me through. And then you see, dear friends, not only praying for a tender, broken, contrite heart in repentance, but for more faith, increase my faith as our dangers seem to get bigger and we get weaker. Increase my faith to trust thee more. Oh, to think upon thee more, to pray to thee more, to believe in my heart thou art so good, been good all these years, thou art still be good to the end, Lord. We ought always to pray, shouldn't we? Yes, and another thing, our dying day. Some of us here are in our 70s, I'm in my 80th year now, and the Lord has been such a good God to me, and yet I need him more and more. The day is approaching. My friends, it comes quickly. The youngest here, how quickly your lives will pass through. So teach us to number our days. We can't actually number them, but to make us wise in this matter, Lord, may we realize how few our days are. Number our days. That is, my friends, to day by day realize this is another day, one more day, but one day less in my life. I need the Lord to bring me through. Teach us a number of days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Jacob said before Pharaoh, few and evil have been my days. Well, my friends, he did live 149 years, so our memory serves you well enough. Abraham lived 175 years. Isaac, 180 years. But friends, they've gone the way of all the earth. A lot he'd spend in the general sense is 70 years. If I reason of strength, they've become 80 years fourscore. Yet it is labour and sorrow, and we fly away. Oh, teach us number of our days, Lord. Increase our faith. And may we lay out prayers against that dying day. Dear friends, some rush into eternity so quickly. So quickly. Of course, no doubt we've all heard records of one or two younger folks that have died so suddenly. It's a great mercy if they've left something, if people have begun to intimate they're more concerned about their soul latterly. A great favour that, isn't it? Because the natural man tries to put off the thought of dying and a dying day, but the spiritual man realizes there's appointed time to man upon the earth. It's appointed unto men once to die and after death a judgment. So Christ, oh wonderful God, so Christ, my friends, entered within the veil, and my friends, he's died for the ungodly. And he knows them that trust in him. They'll never be ashamed that wait for him. And we're always to pray. Let us allow prayers against our dying day. And to live to his glory. Oh, that our conversation may be as becometh the gospel. Our conversation may be in heaven, upon the things of God, upon the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the help we've received, many answers to our poor prayers. Oh, to think upon his name and to live to his glory. I know we're not under the law, but we don't walk contrary to the law. We must be careful on this point. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. It's true to say we're under Christ because the law's been fulfilled. So we're no more under the law, it's dominion. But to the glory of Christ we live as closely and as godly as we can. It's about our infirmities. David said, how much I love thy law. And he did, from his very heart. But poor man was a transgressor, wasn't he? The Lord restored him, had mercy on him. Solomon became an idolater, believe it or not. He brought idols into the temple, of all things. And yet, the Lord did not take his spirit from him. Yes, we believe, we can see in Ecclesiastes, how he saw all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Oh, the Lord is faithful that promised. And in praying our way along, we may plead these promises. These exceeding great and precious promises sealed by blood. Speak of the promise in two ways. An old man from Coventry years ago, Coventry Chapel, how he spoke of, yes, the promises, and in those book of promises in the Word of God, there's a little book which of promises the Lord has made known to us personally, your soul's experience. Now, be careful here. Perhaps it's one that says, I've had nothing really that's laid like a promise in my heart. Plead the promise as thou hast written the Word of God. Plead them. It's God's Word. The whole of God's Word is pleadable. If you see a promise there, you say, Lord, I don't know much about that, but have a sense of need. Plead the promises of God. And especially remember any word of grace the Lord has brought into your heart with some sweetness and power and instruction to your soul. Plead it, remember it, pray your way along continually. Yes, his every word of grace is strong as that which built the skies. The voice that rolls the stars along speaks all the promises. From the stars in their circuits, the summer stars, the winter stars. Yes, beautiful consolation we have above us, which I often look at when I get away from street lights. And the point is, you see, they come. The consolations come every year. Orion and Cassiopeia come over in the winter time, and Auriga a little later, and so it goes on, you see. And the bright stars and the planets in their circuits. Friends, they're all ordered by God. And the voice of creation rolls those stars along to the end of time. But friends, the precious blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, and those promises in the Word of God are sure and certain, shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anything in my name, already quoted, I will do it. Oh, my dear friends, come to me, all ye that labour, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, shall find rest unto your souls. You who perhaps are longing for some word of sweet grace about your soul, perhaps you feel so guilty, perhaps you feel so wretched, come guilty, come loathsome, come bare, says Hart in 1:5:5. I'll turn it up now, but I can't quite quote it correctly, but the hymn's a long hymn. It speaks of the fountain of Christ. This fountain from guilt not only makes pure and gives sinners felt an infallible cure, but if guilt removed, return and remain, in its power may be proved again and again. This fountain unsealed, it's been opened, you see, it's not sealed, it's opened, yes, by the death of Christ. This fountain unsealed stands open for all that long to be healed, the great and the small. His strength for the weakly that hither are led, his health for the sickly, his life for the dead. This fountain, though rich, from charges quite clear. The poorer the wretch, the welcomer here. Come needy, come guilty, come loathsome and bare. You can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. That lovely, holy me. The man, Christ Jesus. Yes, who sits upon that golden throne of grace, waiting to be gracious, and has sealed these promises in the Word by his own precious sin atoning blood. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I no wise cast out. Ah, keep going, my friend. Keep pressing to Christ. Plead his name. Trust him. He will bless thee. He will help you or bring you through. He'll be your daily strength and daily guide and daily salvation. You're a blessed man that trusts in him. I see time's going. Well, we ought always to pray and not to faint. Dear friends, these faintings come from our weakness, unbelief. Unbelief gets strong at times under trial. It does, but I prove this. When unbelief is strong, a soul cries more loudly for him to appear and to rise for our help. We've proved, like the psalmist said, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Well, the Lord is my helper, saith my soul, the psalmist says. May we prove it now as we journey on. Yes, as we journey on throughout this year, spared to pass through to another year, we don't know our future days, but maybe our salvation today. If it's our salvation, he's our salvation tomorrow. He does not change his mind. God cannot lie. His word is pure. Every word of God is pure, we read. And all the promise sealed by the blood of the everlasting covenant, which Jesus opened at Calvary. And I have to close. And he said, I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. If you know the joy of the Lord to be your strength, we read in Nehemiah, he said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you know the joy of the Lord to be your strength, it's an everlasting strength. He won't take grace away from his people. He may hide his face under trial. He may humble us and correct us, but he'll never take away eternal life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die, Jesus said. And it is so. You'll never die in looking to Christ, trusting in Christ. I know there'll be the death of the body. Ah, my friends, but you'll know no death in your soul. The moment your breath leaves you, that's the sign of the soul leaving you, the spirit leaving you. Your blood-washed soul shall soar into glory, my friends. And there you'll join the chorus, and you'll come that second time with those spirits of just men. Those souls of just men, they're spirits, you see. And the bodies of the just shall rise like his glorious body. And the whole of the election of grace of all nations, kindreds, tribes and tongues shall be gathered safely into glory at last. To be with him forever and ever. Think of it, forever and ever. I've sometimes felt very reproved in my own soul. I must close, I know, I'm sorry to keep you. But in thinking of the good Lord's goodness and mercy, how forgetful I am of his mercy. When I think what he's done, I feel sometimes like a dog on a leash, straying to get away and get away, explore this, explore that. That's what our nature is like. At times I felt so ashamed before the Lord, so good, so merciful. And yet, I'm not as filled with gratitude like I should be. But we must die to speak of Christ. You'll never be what you really want to be here below. You want to be sinless here below, but you can't. But one day you'll be sinless in glory. You live in hope, and grace will reign, and grace will keep you, and grace will humble you and correct you and bring yourself home to glory where you will be pure as God is pure. What clothes righteousness? Remember that sweet truth. God imputes the righteousness of Jesus to those that trust in him. So a believer is accounted righteous in the sight of God. Though they had their flaws, Abraham had his flaws, he made mistakes. He denied his wife twice. Isaac did the same, my friends. Yes, and Jacob transgressed. Mystery that. I'm sorry to keep you, but I must just say this, and I must close. Friends, Jacob sinned in seeking to get a blessing. It was eternally designed for him. That shows salvation is of grace. I am thy eldest son, Esau. Ooh, says poor troubled Isaac. 'Tis the voice of Jacob, but the smell is the smell of the field. He got Esau's garments on. He touched his hairy arms. Oh, there was the fur. Poor Isaac was deceived. God wasn't deceived. And Jacob was humbled. He lied to his father. His children lied to him. Oh, you see, generations, sinners saved by grace. And yet God was sure in the promise. Jacob said, all these things are against me. We're sold to the grave. Why do you do such evil to that stern ruler? You had another son. Benjamin won't go into Egypt. Benjamin will go to Egypt, Jacob. The Lord will command it. And he had to yield to God. Yes, he yielded. They came up with the best news. Joseph's alive. That's God. The God whom we serve. The God who loves his people. The God who forgives the sins of his people. The God who will take them all to glory forever and ever. Ah, my friends, we go to a good God. Therefore, we ought to pray and not to faint. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Blessed God, do follow with thy blessing upon thy word. Please forgive the sins and mistakes in preaching, but bless the sweet truth of thyself. So may we, Lord, go on our way, praying our way along, committing our way, and go on our way rejoicing in the hope of the gospel. Could it please thy kind majesty? So do spare us to meet again according to thy good will. We plead for help now in journeying mercies home. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.